Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's been almost exactly 3 months since Massachusetts voted to legalize recreational marijuana in the state. And yet here we are. The market still hasn't been fully set up. Moreover, there are 15 new bills pending on Beacon Hill that could significantly change what voters thought they were approving back in November. Well, why is that? Joining us now with an answer is Senator Jason Lewis. He's the Senate co-sponsor of these new bills, and he's with us in the studio. Senator Lewis, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Meghna. Good to be back with you.
Okay, so I want to give folks who don't know the brief headline on what some of these bills would do. They propose to change the cap in terms of how much you can have at home of marijuana, change the home growing number from 12 plants to 6 plants, change how cities and towns could opt out of marijuana sales, and also there's things about the Cannabis Control Commission, about drug driving, etc. But let me just get straight to the question. Why do you have these 15 new bills which seek to change what voters passed with question 4 in November?
So as you rightly point out, on November 8th, the voters of Massachusetts voted to legalize recreational marijuana. And we are committed to implementing the will of the voters. And in fact, as of December 15th, of course, it's now legal to possess and to use and to home grow marijuana in limited quantities. What the next step in the process is to put in place a legal market in order to allow the sale and the purchase of marijuana. And that's a very complicated undertaking, and that's what we're committed to moving forward with next. So the legislation that I filed in the new session and that other senators and representatives have filed as well basically seeks to do three things. It seeks to fill in gaps which were not addressed by the ballot law. Second, it seeks to clarify areas in the ballot law that there's some confusion around. For example, we're hearing a lot from our municipal officials with a lot of questions. And third, it seeks to strengthen some areas in the ballot law where there are significant concerns that we're hearing from various stakeholders.
Okay, so I want to get into those things in more detail in just a moment. But forgive me if I sound a little thick-headed, but I don't understand how making wholesale changes to key aspects of what was written in question 4 equivalent to implementing the will of the voters.
So, I don't believe that's what we're doing with these bills. For example, one of the bills addresses the issue of drug driving and how are we going to deal with likely increases in people driving under the influence. Another bill deals with creating a research program and data collection. Another bill deals with the kinds of packaging and labeling requirements to ensure that these products are used safely.
But what about the ones that make very significant reductions to how much people can possess? Question 4 said a home limit of 10 ounces. One of the bills suggests reducing that to 2 ounces. And home growing, which was a major part of why some people supported question 4, the ballot question passed with 12 plants for home growing. There's a bill that proposes reducing that to 6. I mean, those are very specific reductions that I think people are kind of upset about.
So let me take those one by one. In terms of possession, we have to remember marijuana remains illegal under federal law to schedule one drug. And so even with legalization, there's many limits on what you can and can't do. And the most significant of those is that you can possess up to 1 ounce. And an ounce of marijuana is about equivalent to 50 joints. So it's not a very small amount. In this ballot question, there was language to allow up to 10 ounces at home. And frankly, I think that was reflecting what we have for the medical marijuana program. But recreational marijuana is not the same as medical marijuana. And in almost every other state, there's no allowance for possessing marijuana, additional amounts of marijuana in your own home.
Yeah.
So that changes to reflect what's generally true across the country and to reflect the fact that we want to allow people to possess reasonable quantities, but not more than that. I can also address the home growing separately if you'd like.
Okay, and I will let you do that. And I do promise that there are so many bills here under consideration that I will allow you to get to them, as many of them as possible. But you can see why I do want to ask you, possibly in different directions, but the same set of questions about why the legislature feels compelled to make these changes. Because we put this question out to listeners earlier about that you were going to be on the show, and you can imagine we got a lot of feedback, and I just want to read to you a subset, a sample of the kinds of questions we got back from folks. For example, The people voted to pass the cannabis referendum with specific details. Why do you feel compelled to undermine the will of the people? Why is Massachusetts trying to bypass the will of the voters regarding the specific provisions passed in question 4? Why do you feel it necessary to contravene the will of the majority of Massachusetts voters? Why not govern based on the will of your constituency? How does Mr. Lewis square his recent vote to raise his salary with his obstinate attitude towards question 4, which passed with a large majority? And if Jason Lewis works for the people, why does he approach this as if he works for himself? That's just a subset of the kind of questions we got.
Yeah, and I've certainly heard the same sort of feedback from my own constituents as well as others, and I understand and I listen very carefully to that. At the same time, I've also heard feedback from public health experts, from those who work in the addiction community and treat substance abuse, from mayors and municipal officials, from police officers and businesses, and others who are very concerned about exactly how the law is implemented and making sure that, yes, we absolutely have to move forward with legalization as quickly and as efficiently, as expeditiously as we can in terms of a legal market. But let's do that thoughtfully. Let's do that safely. Let's prioritize public health. And frankly, let's learn from what's happened in Colorado, Washington, and other states. And that's all that I'm seeking to do with the bills that I've filed.
So Colorado, as an example, why not just let legalization unfold as was written in question 4, let the market establish itself on the timeline that it was asked for in the question, and then over time make the changes that emerge as actually being necessary. It seems as if the legislature is doing the opposite. The legislature is saying, nope, we can exactly anticipate what the problems are going to be a year or two from now, so let's slow everything down at the moment. Whereas I think a lot of advocates and a lot of people who voted for question 4 say, no. Let the question or the law written in the question do what it's supposed to do and make the changes that we actually need when we need them.
Well, first of all, all of these bills that I filed, and I think there's 75 in total that have been filed in the new session, they're all going to get debated. Nothing is worked out yet. There'll be public hearings. I'm hoping they'll be all around the state so that it'll make it accessible and convenient for people to attend and to weigh in.
You can understand why there's some doubt about that because of the delay that was passed in informal session.
Well, I can speak to that if you like as well. We would have preferred to have done that in a formal session when all the lawmakers were present, but we really needed to do that before the end of the year because otherwise we would have been actually implementing the law and building a whole regulatory structure at the same time that we were making changes to it. But to your, I think, very important question, which is why not wait? I don't subscribe to the school of thought that says let's let things happen. Let the problems occur when we know what's likely to happen when we look at other states. Colorado, for example, has passed more than 20 bills since their legalization was approved at the ballot.
And people would say the sky has not fallen in Colorado.
No one's saying it's falling. That's not what I'm saying either. And I spent time in Colorado, but they've had a lot of challenges that they've had to deal with, and they've learned a lot of lessons along the way. And I think that it would behoove us to take advantage of all of that, and let's do this right in the first place. Why would we want to go forward knowing that we're going to have a whole series of problems? And frankly, why would we not want to focus on public health and prevention efforts? Why would we not want to do everything we can? It's fine if adults want to make the decision to, consume cannabis, but I think we want to do everything possible to keep it out of the hands of kids and teenagers and to not increase rates of use among our teens.
But Senator Lewis,
as well as keeping it off of our roads as well.
I really wonder, what could you say or what do you want to say to people listening to this who just say, look, we remember that you were very, publicly on the record as being opposed to question 4. You spoke eloquently. You made your case eloquently before the election. And now they just see these bills as attempts by the legislature to just slow things down, to muddy up the process to the point where, the market itself ultimately will have difficulty getting established. Like there's a lot of businesses who are like, I will not be able to get the financing I need if there's so much uncertainty around where the market's going to be able to to get launched in Massachusetts?
Well, there is certainly a lot of uncertainty because this is a new market, and we don't know what's going to happen in Washington, and there's a lot of things to figure out. But the legislature is very committed to moving forward quickly. You know, we've just created a brand new marijuana committee. It's the first time that's ever existed. The reason for that is to put all of this in one place because there's public safety issues, public health issues, there's revenue issues, there's municipal issues, which ordinarily would be handled by a whole variety of different committees. We've decided to create one. That process is going to get underway, you know, over the next few months. And Governor Baker has said already he'd like to have a final bill on his desk by the spring. So that's the goal we're working towards, by the spring. And so we're not looking to create confusion or uncertainty any more than already exists or to slow down the market. But again, we really, I think, owe it to everybody in the state, not people who voted for this and people who didn't, that we do this right and we do it safely.
So I did promise you the chance to briefly sort of tell us about some of these proposed changes. We talked about the proposal to reduce the home limit. What about home growing? Why cut that from 12 plants to 6?
So I think that will be debated, and we should have a good discussion about that. Allowing up to 12 plants is actually a pretty considerable amount of marijuana. You can argue over that and how many strains that you can produce. But if you know what you're doing, that's a very significant amount of marijuana you can grow. That's more than is allowed in virtually any other state. Washington State doesn't allow any home growing, for that matter. Most states allow something closer to 6. And, again, we see problems in Colorado with a very large black market. A lot of that is fed by home growing, which is not easy to enforce. And I think we want to get off, in Massachusetts in the right place. And we want to allow people to home grow. I think they definitely voted for that. But I do think at the same time, we should put reasonable limits around that. But I think that will absolutely be debated as we go through the next few months.
One of the proposals is also to allow cities and towns to ban the sale of marijuana without a special election or local referendum. Mm-hmm. Why do that?
So I'll give you a good example of the kinds of concerns and confusion this is creating. So I just met with the city of Somerville just last week, and that's a city where they are rolling out medical marijuana now. They're going to be having, I think, up to 4 dispensaries in the city, and the residents of Somerville strongly support that. And they fully expect that they will have recreational marijuana facilities in the city as well. Retail outlets, maybe grow facilities. Under the ballot question, where those medical marijuana facilities are located, they would be required to allow recreational in the same location. Well, some of those medical marijuana dispensaries, and by the way, they've gone through a year-long process to work this out, are located right near schools because they're treating them like pharmacies. Because it's medical marijuana. So they are very concerned that they would be forced to allow a retail pot shop potentially to be also in a very close vicinity to a school. And that's the kind of thing that they want to have control over. And so the changes that are proposed in that particular bill I filed would basically just give our cities and towns more control over exactly what they want to do in moving forward with recreational marijuana. And I'm hearing loud and clear from municipal officials that that's the way they'd like to move forward.
And briefly, in just a couple seconds, there's also a proposal to allow people arrested in connection with 1 ounce of possession of marijuana to possibly expunge that arrest from their record.
Yes, and that's because, like many activists who push for the ballot question, I'm concerned about the social justice aspects of this. I'm concerned about the war on drugs that we've been fighting for decades, and how many people have been harmed by that, and how many families have been hurt by that. And so, what I'm proposing in this legislation is that you could essentially expunge your record if you have a conviction for possession of up to an ounce, which is what's now legal. So if you've basically were arrested and convicted for something that now is legal, that you should be able to have that expunged from your criminal from your record. So there'll be some debate over that as well. That's an example of something that law enforcement, I think, will may push back on.
Right. But well, I hope there's vigorous. What you said is what comes to pass. That there's vigorous public debate about each and every one of these proposals. We have a couple seconds left to go, Senator Lewis. I just have to return to this one question. I know that legislators don't love voter referenda. Many of them have come on this show to say they feel it's a blunt instrument. But on the other hand, sometimes democracy is a blunt instrument, and people are thinking that you and your fellow legislators are acting in an undemocratic way. Are you?
As I said, I don't believe we are. We're trying to implement this law in a way that is thoughtful, that's careful, that emphasizes public health, and that we learn from other states and the issues that they've run into along the way. And I think ultimately this will be better for marijuana users, for marijuana businesses, and the public at large if we do this right.
Well, Senator Jason Lewis is a Democratic state senator, and he's co-sponsoring these 15 bills that are pending on Beacon Hill. I always am very grateful that you come and talk with us, Senator Lewis. We look forward to keeping up this conversation as the session progresses.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Meghna.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.